Record. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Marina here. She is a wonderful midwife I got connected with, and I would just love her to tell her extensive international midwifery journey and all the wonderful things she's been doing, because it's a pretty inspiring story.
Well, hello. Thank you, Leslie, for having me here. And hello, everybody. I am a nurse midwife. I also a CPM, CNM CPM, with a master's from UCSF. And I've been at it for over 40 years, also almost 50 years. And is I am so thankful.
Yeah. I can't even imagine 40, 50 years of transition, and not just in the U.S. market, but around the world, all the different places you've been and all the wonderful projects you've been part of.
Yes. And some of them happened like minor miracles. It was the first thing that took me around the world, the first ask, was that I had a private practice. So as a CNM, I was committed to birth in all settings for all people. And now I would say birth in love for all families, right, and love for birth in all settings.
I stress enough what you're saying, because in this world nowadays, we need more love for sure.
We need love, and we need to spread the love. And love has been too soft to talk about.
Yeah.
I think that Michel Odent was the love cocktail, you know, he brought that up. And so, and it's hormonal oriented and this and that, and it's very scientific. So we have a better language to express it now, but it's that compassionate heart.
To
treat everybody with dignity, with caring, according to their culture,
right,
and their way of being, et cetera, in every setting. It's possible. We take the heart with us wherever we go. So it could be at home, birth centers, in the hospitals. It's been my passion. But so in wanting to offer birth in all settings, I had a home and hospital practice. And a group was looking, the midwifery community in Japan was looking for independent practice, because as you become more university trained and less in the community, you lose a little bit of your know-how, how to start your own business, how to be in the community. You are more directed towards employment.
Yep. And I'm very passionate about that, as you know.
So they found me. I was doing a camp. I did a camp several years where I was the healer at the camp. It was a woman's camp, art and poetry and political things. And it was wonderful in the countryside. And an interview happened about, oh, they found out, oh, yeah, she's a midwife. Oh, yeah. And she has an independent practice and this and that. Talk to her. So she came and talked to me, and she wrote an article in this magazine. And then I got hired to go to Japan to talk about independent practice of midwifery. And there was an ICM, International Confederation of Midwives, gathering in Japan, overlapping the happening. And it was the Association of Midwives in Japan. And I learned a lot, because they did have traditional midwifery. They were called Sambasans in Japan, which by the turn of the century, after World War II, it got changed. Part of it was our United States consultation, and the model of university trained, nursing trained got established, and the name got changed to Josampu. And they wanted to recover the traditional midwife in Japan was so highly esteemed by the culture, and they're very respectful people. So the level of respect was still in the culture, but they knew that they were losing their ability to be able to open their own centers, for example. And I'm passionate about being able to, here's for all the midwives out there, to open centers in communities. yeah. in the community, in the neighborhood, especially in urban areas where folks can walk to your service.
Yeah. And bring so back to the local community, community supporting community versus you're dependent on a bigger centralized system.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and COVID has shown that there are even more advantages to having a smaller services mm-hmm. and more accessible in
Well, and I know in the United States, birth centers have been just booming in the demand and the needs because, like you said, consumers were already keeping the midwives in the U.S. plenty busy. But then when COVID and the visitor policies and realizing hospital means sick house, like people were really catching on to that wave that, okay, we should be back in a low risk, healthy setting if we fit that criteria. So, yes, I agree with you. There's definitely huge advantages in demand right now.
Yeah, and there were some services last year where the hospital itself and the obstetricians and then the nurse midwives and the community midwives, they collaborated with each other mm-hmm. for giving service to the well, healthy families mm-hmm. at home or in their birth center. Mm-hmm. And then in good communication with the medical services in the hospital, which is the goal still, COVID or no COVID.
Yeah.
It's still the goal.
Yeah. The hope is that we're not only using it in pandemic time, it's a shift in mindset that we can use this anytime. Like, that's my hope.
Absolutely. And it is possible to establish good relationships between systems in different settings and make that a smooth transition and a welcoming transition.
Yeah.
So that's how I started being internationally with that kind of talk. And off of that, because I didn't speak Japanese and I had an interpreter, mm-hmm. I wanted to show them. I wanted to communicate. And I wrote a poem that had to do with the movement and the sounds and the power of birth. And I enacted it, which ended up being called the birth dance. Mm-hmm. And off of the birth dance, I got then hired to go here and there with the birth. I traveled with the birth dance. It was amazing. That birth dance was part of the show that I did with Michelle O'Donnell. He explained the hormones and I enacted the dance and traveled all the world with that. And also I returned later on because I did my education a little fraction at a time, little fraction, and then I work and then another little fraction. So I think it was 10 or so years after I got my certification as a CNM, I went back for my master's and I focused on my research on the birth dance, which was when a mother is moving in labor, she's healthy, this is her home birth, moving in labor, and she finds everything is going normal, it's getting beautiful, and she finds her own position. And if the practitioner is confident to go ahead and be the buoyancy, because if the
ride the wave versus you're the riptide that's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You are the buoyant hands that can catch the be any position. Yeah. And I did research on that. I used to keep a statistics on all my birth. Something very nice to do, folks out there. I kept a statistics of my own birth, and then I retrospectively looked at my birth outcomes. It's a safe what I'm doing. Well, it seems safe to me because my outcomes were beautiful, but research-like, you know.
Yeah, more objective so and more translating to the medical world.
Yeah. I counted all the births. It was about 150. And then who were vertical and who were horizontal and horizontal, vertical, horizontal. Hands and knees was horizontal to me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just flat on the bed. Flat in the bed came out to be one of the least used positions.
Yeah.
And squatting, semi-sitting, hands and knees, and bending over.
Yeah. Well, it's just true instinctual birth. It's really like I practice in all settings. I don't have nearly the experience that you do, Marina, but I in home setting, you really could see the most instinctual births that as soon as you change the environment. And if you have a home birth midwife that is nervous and anxious, they were only trained in the hospital and never seen this side, it completely changes that environment. And so, like you said, you've got to be a team and go with the flow of whatever that client you're serving does.
And you're moving and observing, and you're still taking vitals. And
yeah, you're still assessing
your skills. Yeah. And then I did have to then look at every single position and the research on it. And I'm still love this whole topic of birthing in different positions. And when it is the mother who chooses the position for her body and that zone, divine zone of birth.
Well, and I think we don't give enough credit for, we talk about interventions of there's a problem, let's fix it. We don't give credit for all these subconscious things we're doing, the effleurage, the words we're saying, the smells, the dark, like we don't give enough credit to these physiological interventions that aren't really interventions, but they're things we're implementing because we're so trained that if you're doing something because there's a problem, but we're actually doing these normal things to make a normal outcome.
Yeah. And that paradigm, I call it the paradigm of normalcy, with lack of words because it hasn't been expressed too much, is vast.
Your confidence in the room, if you're over there nervous and anxious and you're checking the clock all the time and you're constantly pacing, that's an intervention. Like, we don't give enough to the psychology. If you're in the room and you're smiling, like that was one thing over and over again, when we would have like rougher outcomes, we'd have a postpartum hemorrhage, we'd have a newborn resuscitation. I always had confidence, even if I was quivering on the inside, like I knew, and we would talk, like my clients knew the confidence. They felt so much more in the skills because you were talking, you were confident. You, even though a lot of scary things were happening, it's the interactions, it's the perception of how they're handled, we don't give enough credit to.
Yes, and learning how to hold, well, I had to learn how to hold the emotion. I'm pretty emotional, I cry easy.
Yeah.
Hold it together, be a very able practitioner. In times of emergencies, you should not freak out. Freak out later, that's what I train myself to. Finish everything, keep myself together, and after the birth, take some time postpartum, even in the beautiful birth, take some time, the midwife.
Yeah.
Take some time to incorporate it, to move over it, to delight in the beauty, and to learn. Sometimes I did something which the Mexican midwife described like this. They say, sometimes if I am in a position where something is happening I never knew, I do like this. They let a spirit handle their hands. And we all have done it, that we have done it, something that nobody taught us, that we didn't even know, and we did it.
Well, it's just giving us even the pause. It's giving you the opportunity to trust in the body. Like, instead of hands manipulate, you're giving your opportunity of like, nature will fix this, or the like, sometimes that extra second gives you a moment to process and assess a little more.
And guide from your higher intelligence. And look through how the birth went and learn from that. Keeping a diary of birth, not to show anybody, just your own thoughts. Like folks talk about, keep up with your dreams. Well, birth is like a dream.
Yeah.
Birth is so not in the time continuum that we know. And we can learn so much if we had the time to examine it and learn and grow with. My biggest issue is birth itself.
I could see you making a new journal, a gratitude birth journal. And it's for like, truly, because we talk about the benefits of a gratitude journal in general, but too many times, I think, with the burnout, because I'm very passionate about midwifery burnout, is we get terrorized and anxious about those 1%, because that's what haunts us. The pain, the negativity, the tension is what lingers. When that wonderful birth happens, yes, we're in the moment, but those emotions and the memory cells don't ingrain as deep. So I do think there's a lot of benefit to living in the moment longer of the happy times and getting those memory cells more ingrained. Because I think part of it, when we go longer and longer term as a midwife, we could have 99% beautiful, beautiful births, but they kind of get lost in the clouds by that really traumatic outcome or really traumatic experience.
You are right on it. And then because of that, then we intervene out of that fear, panic,
trauma, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, your mind shifts.
Mm-hmm. And the healing, I was also fortunate to have a masseuse. That was also a polarity practitioner, polarity is called something else, I think now. But she worked with the pulses, she works with the body, we work with breath. Now it will be called more the style of, if you are going to give me a massage after I am processing, I am a somatic.
I want you to be my life coach. I want you to heal my body and my soul. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I sometimes go through, for example, I did have, I had to cut a core on the water, and it's the only time that I had to cut it, because that's the whole Lori story of why it happened like that. Because the thing about water, because I went all over the world also teaching about water birth, when in doubt, get them out. Mm-hmm. So when you are in doubt, you get them out of the water. But once in the rare occasion, the timing is so fast that you have to like do the whatever you have to do. And make sure mom and baby are good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I did have to cut a core on the water. It was shocking to me, because that was something that I had never thought I would do. And it had possibilities or complications I didn't know about, but it was the right thing to do, because the baby had too many cords. I couldn't get the woman up. Mm-hmm. It was, the head was out. Mm-hmm. I had three. Anyway, so a couple of days later, I had this session where actually, as I process this session, somebody's working on my body and we're breathing and relaxing and da 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 da. Well, it was this hand and especially the fingers that had touched that scissor that almost like the fright was locked into physically my body. Right. And when you begin to release that kind of thing, is changes in temperature feels, the muscles twitch, this and that, but you keep on processing it and letting it go and letting it go until you feel healed enough that you're not going to carry both the fright of, oh, if it happens again, so I might have hesitation about, say, another water birth or pushing a motor or who knows what I come up with out of the necessity to be safe. Right. We don't do this because we want to interfere. Right. We do it because we want to be safe. And this is the kind of safety that now we can conceptualize. Well, when you heal that piece, when you heal it, you can open back up. Yes. And go, okay, now I know that one. Thank you for the teaching and allow me to express the fullness.
I can see you doing amazing work with some healing trauma sessions for midwives and birth professionals across the world. I could see some wonderful virtual energy release that you could do with people if you wanted to go that direction. I know you do a wonderful job.
Well, I've been doing a lot of stuff with Zoom because it's a Zoom time of the year of the world. But I did work with my workshops that I did in water, and even with a birth dance, but even more profoundly so in water, and probably more surprising, because they were going to come and be in the water and maybe meet the dolphins and rehearse water birth, and all of it sounded so like hysterically fun.
Yes, it does. That sounds like the best midwife retreat. You do that, I'm joining you.
I did a bunch of that. I did about 15 years of that. It was called Midwife in Joy or Word for Labor and Birth. And I don't know what.
So I'm curious, your birth dance, is there any videos out there of you doing it? I would absolutely love to see it.
I have one video that has never been edited that I need to look at and see what I do with that. I've been kind of word of mouth, and I don't do that good advertising myself.
I mean, if you feel brave enough to do a reenacting of the birth dance, but I would love to see this world tour performance you did. So
yeah, I got some of that, and I have a choreography now on the birth dance that moves through all the positions through dancing. Move through the positions, and we can have a group. We can even enact some of the birth. I mean, I have evolved it. It's a lot of fun.
I see us being. Maybe we're going to have a live webinar or a Facebook Live that we're going to have to do a world midwife dance performance together, where we all do it. That'd
be fabulous.
That'd be so
you
much
know
fun.
Something. You know something too, because we do need unity. And sometimes I think about that, and I think about in all kinds of different ways how to do it through art.
Art, it's music, dance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wonderful. But I was going to go to working with folks in water. So I use my work in water about water birth and all of that to release and to trust. And to all of this, and then take what you learn about water and bring it into your hands. So water or no water, you're always fluid. You're always fluid. Rigid hands, we feel it. Somebody touches you rigid, you feel it. It's got to be kind of sexy or sensual.
Yeah.
Soft, gentle, caressing, beautiful, and very respectful.
Well, and I think my love with water, not just in birth, but just in general in life, like I crave hot tubs, I crave bathtubs. It's that pressure. When you feel so much pressure on life, that gravity adds to that pressure. And when you can do water and you can take that buoyancy, you get this little relief of there's one less pressure going on me physically and mentally and emotionally, that it's comforting to a lot of people. And when you've got a birth and you've got all these pressures coming from all this different directions, if you can take away the gravity pressure, it's one thing you can control. So
yeah, and the midwife can learn how to be fluid. How about that, without getting in the water. Yeah. Take that element. Yeah.
I would love to hear the challenge. How do we get more midwives? Like you and I, you're trained as a nurse midwife and a certified professional midwife, but how do we get more clinicals? How do we get more international exposure to all these different types of midwifery when it's becoming, for particularly nurse midwives and certified midwives, this route where you don't get access? Like I was very blessed with doing Philadelphia University, now Jefferson. I pushed really hard to make my own clinic, do a home birth center practice. And there's a lot of barriers to get that out. The traditional midwifery role that we're used to seeing is more of the hospital and the bigger system. So how do we get the next generation exposed when there's a lot of barriers present?
Okay, well, the first thing is that we need to change the laws governing the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Because part of it, and one day, because I do ask the question, truly, I am persistent on that question, that the insurance are not covering the students, or they are so expensive, they are not covering the students.
Right.
So a cap to the insurance, some way of that kind of logistics need to be handled, because the student cannot handle that. That's already too late for that particular student. And so we get railroaded.
Well, I'm even wondering on a regulatory side, even though they're at the birth, kind of like we do with pharmaceutical companies and vaccines, a student is there to learn. They are free of liability risk. I mean, if they're choosing to not be a student role, that's a different discussion. But if they're filling a student role where they're learning and they're not the lead birth decision maker, there shouldn't be I think that would help a lot with that barrier present.
Yeah, so that barrier needs to, and I tweak it. I do speak depending on who I'm speaking to. I tweak it that particular way. That's one. The other one is I am a la par, Alianza Latinoamericana de Parteras, which is the Latin American Alliance of Midwives. And we're talking about traditional midwifery. And traditional midwifery in Latin America, it is incorporating contemporary medical plus the not leaving the tradition behind. So is the merging of the two for the completeness of us. The traditionals go, what do you think? I don't want to learn how to take a blood pressure. Come on now, bring me the equipment. I want to know all that you know. And the university can say the same. Let me look at how you massage. How do you do it? What herbs do you use? What does this mean?
Yeah. Learn from each other's skills and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. And start not being afraid of the cultural, what is neat about going to different cultures for me has been that the midwives that know, we can communicate with each other because there are some truisms. Birth is very cultural, you know. However, the body itself has a culture.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a unity of everyone that chooses to become a midwife. There's an innate core being in us that's very, very similar, or we would have chose a different profession. We would have chose a different, like, I think sometimes we forget that no matter the educational background or the language, like, we all have this core unity of why we became midwives.
I love it. Well, another one of my dreams is the unity and core. That word has come up, the core truth of the heart of the midwife and the sacredness of birth. Yeah.
Well, I think I see a book going your way, whether you write it or you get somebody to help you. I would love to read your future book, Marina. I really appreciate your knowledge and wisdom. Is there any words of advice or any highlight you would like to end on to pass on to any midwife or aspiring midwife to be?
Okay, breathe. Mm-hmm. And tune in to the birth energy.
Yeah.
And yet stay alert. Know your skills well. Know them so well. And don't be afraid to seek the knowledge.
Yeah.
And know it so well that you can then relax, because you know that if you need the skill, you're going to be able to do it. And take very, very good care of yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. I'll definitely, you find me that birth dance video. I would love to either we reenact it or you find it or we do some sort of event, but I would love to do your birth dance.
So the plug is that I need an editor, a video editor.
You do. I would love to see it in this world tour you did. We have to see it as midwives too. So thank you so much for your time. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Leslie. Bye-bye.